The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where every week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principle. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and conviction, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is peace of mind when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and conviction. And there's so much potential for anxiety when you sense that your money is not aligned with your values and your conviction.
That's right, but it's easier said than done. There's so many financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
That's right. And when you're confused or when you're scared, you simply aren't making good decisions. It's that simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can hurt you pretty badly as well. And it can keep you from being all that God wants you to be.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it can hurt you pretty bad as well.
That's right. I got that a little backwards, didn't I? Yeah. Well, welcome to episode 47, moving right along, right?
That's right.
Episode 47 of Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week in the first part of our show here, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then part of the way through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler. Drum roll, please. That's right. It's a brain teaser, a puzzle that we'll share with you. And we, again, as we always say, we never know if that's actually interesting or not. That's right. But it was interesting to us.
So let's jump right into it, James. Lots of things going on in the news right now. What are some highlights that you would like to talk about today?
Well, I have a new set of letters after my name. Two new sets of letters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the one that I'm most excited about, C-P-O-P. Well, no.
Oh.
C-G-P-O-P.
Yeah?
Registered trademark, certified grandpop, level 3.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. That's right. Number 3.
High five.
High five.
Good
That's
job.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So are you going to put that on your email signature too?
Yeah, I actually want to put it on the email signature and see if our compliance people, say, what is this? You can't use that certification. I can too. I've got 3 little ones to prove it. That's right. Anyway, okay, that was not on our outline.
It wasn't, but that's great news
that's
from
great
this
news.
Past
Congratulations,
week.
Congratulations, Pappy.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. So, the stock market is bouncing around, right?
Yeah.
As
boing,
we
boing, boing,
boing, boing,
boing,
even
boing.
As we record, that's right, in a pretty big way. But I thought it was interesting. We, January and February of this year, we've talked about the Purchasing Managers Index.
Yes.
Already, and how purchasing managers,
when, like to keep an eye on that.
That's right. Yeah, because when purchasing managers buy lots of stuff, it means that they're gearing up for
manufacturing, production,
and everything else. And so, and for almost 3 years, PMI was contracting. And in January and February this year, there was some slight expansion. Well, March's PMI was again contracting.
Womp womp.
Yeah. So possibly we are in a recession.
Already. I've heard others say that as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
And there's so many metrics and way they try to judge it and classify it. And it's kind of hard to put your thumb on it, I guess.
That's right. But boots on the ground. I mean, you what was that article you saw? JCPenney is closing a lot of stores.
Yeah. Over 600 stores are closing for 24 hours after announcing closure in like 6 or 8 different states.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. So that's...
Not sure how they're going to move forward from that, but...
That's contraction.
It's an American icon department store.
That's right. That's contraction. And Starbucks is taking Starbucks is taking stuff off the menu.
They're contracting their menu.
They're contracting the menu.
And you're not happy about it?
I am not happy. Not happy at all. Well, maybe we'll talk more about it. I don't really like coffee. I just like coffee-influenced beverages.
Mm.
You know, like lattes. Mm. If you start taking that stuff away, I just don't know what to do.
Well, see, I'm the opposite end of you. It's the old, remember the old A&P stores and the 8 o'clock coffee?
The A&P, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's my limit. That's, put that in a percolator in the morning when I get up. I'm
right.
Good.
That's right. As long as the coffee keeps flowing, we're in good shape.
Good shape.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well,
maybe some of that news from the PMI has been affected by some of this tariff news and all the stuff going on in the news.
Well, that's very possible, right? That's very possible. So trade deals, I mean, that's really what...
As of now, what we understand is that there's a 90-day pause on the reciprocal tariffs.
Right.
Everything's staying at 10%.
Which could change by the time we get back to...
Right, before we end this segment.
Before we end this segment, it's going to all be different. But that's the way it is as of this minute.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The administration's saying there's so much interest, so much inbound negotiating that they want to do a 90-day pause and allow those to kind of take place.
That's right. Apparently, over 70 countries right now are talking with the U.S. about negotiating trade deals.
That's what the administration is claiming.
That's what they're saying.
Publicly.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's kind of important, right? Because
very important.
A few weeks ago, we said that the trade deficit in January was 130 plus billion.
Oof.
Right. February's trade deficit was 147 billion.
Mm. $7 billion increase.
In a single month.
So we're buying $147 billion more worth of goods and services than we're exporting.
Than we're exporting. That's right. More of that coming in. And this, you know, this is important because an economy really, it doesn't matter the size of the economy. If it's a small economy or a big economy or global economy, it's really all just about people having transactions with each other.
Right.
And the main idea is... You know, I'm supposed to buy something from you, and ideally, you buy something from me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just buying all this stuff from you, you're getting all my money, and I'm not getting anything back.
And if you're buying everything from people, then how are you even generating money?
Then how are you even generating anything? That's right.
Yeah, continue buying my stuff.
That's right. So no matter the size of the economy, again, if it's a little town like the town of Shiremanstown here, or
you mentioned a good book, right? That kind of ties into that.
Yeah. So Tom Friedman wrote a book a number of years ago called The World is Flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great read. If you haven't read The World is Flat, you should go pick that book up and read it. But among other things he talked about, he used an illustration. He said, suppose you have two cities. The whole entire world is just made up of two cities. And these two cities are doing business with each other. So they're buying and selling things back and forth, and they've got a pretty good deal figured out.
And they're both doing well.
They're both doing well, yeah. And there's wealth that's building in those two cities because they're doing business with each other. And over here, you have this third city that heretofore has been sort of just out of the loop. And then all of a sudden, that city gets introduced into the trade relationship between these two original cities. What happens, let's say that third city does not have the same accumulation of wealth that the first two cities did. So the first two cities are wealthier than the third city. And now this third city sort of, again, shows up. It gets introduced into this loop. Well, eventually what happens is the wealth in the original two cities gradually leaks out and leaks into that third city. Mm-hmm. And so
bringing more of a balance.
That's right. It gradually, everything spreads out until there's equilibrium again. But now each city really doesn't have quite as much as it did, except the third city has more, right?
Well, what if people in the original two cities aren't happy with the outcome?
Usually if your wealth is sort of draining, you're not so happy with the outcome, right? Which is, it feels a lot like that's really kind of what's going on, in this whole tariff and trade deal environment where, people are not happy with the outcomes. Because for a number of years, this trade deficit thing has been sort of draining wealth and it's going into other parts of the world. So now there's an attempt to try to, either corral that or bring it back.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you also talked, so that's The World is Flat by Todd Friedman. You also mm-hmm. said The World is Curved was another book.
Yeah, so David Smick then wrote a book called The World is Curved. And here, in this book, Tom Friedman kind of gets at global interconnectedness in his book, The World is Flat.
Mm-hmm.
David Smick really hits on that point. And in discussing how connected, it's sometimes hard to really grasp that one thing leads to another.
A domino effect.
And all of a sudden, you have a seaside town in northern Norway that goes bankrupt because... or has problems, in their pension fund because here in the States, there's a mortgage-backed securities problem or something. It's one transaction just has this domino effect around the globe, and it all of a sudden impacts people on the other side of the globe.
And we want to share this with folks because it's important for you all, because when people conduct business, income is created for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have income, there's opportunity for profits. And then when there are profits, your investments do better.
That's right. And if there aren't any profits or people aren't sure about that, then your investments usually don't do as well.
Right.
So make sure you keep your portfolio structured properly. And we're out of time.
That's right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principle. A great big shout out to our friends here at Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Joe, thanks so much for all you do.
You're welcome.
And your counterpart is actually in Australia.
It's like 2:00 in the morning tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Down there,
feeding
right,
baby kangaroos.
Yeah.
I thought as you went west, time, like it was earlier in the day, not later.
Well, you crossed the international date line.
So
it's actually tomorrow in Australia.
Actually tomorrow.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Are you confused yet? I can confuse you more.
Yeah.
Do we have a globe here?
That's right. It's a globe to show all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. Here on the radio. Oh, my goodness. No. Anyway, so Joe Nevestinski, keep him in your prayers. He is in Australia. And I guess he was holding up a picture of a baby.
He was feeding a baby kangaroo.
He was feeding a baby kangaroo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome. They'll be back, I think, the 15th they get back in the States.
That's right.
And the 16th he should be back in here.
That's right. Well, send him a note saying we expect him to bring some of those pictures along.
He'll probably bring back some Vegemite.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boing, boing. Okay. All right.
That's enough. Get back into what you were doing.
Back to what we were doing.
So wealth.
Wealth, that's right. Wealth management. So 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks? We started this series of discussions about what is wealth, right? That was episode 45. And if you didn't have an opportunity to listen to that, you can look it up on the Holy Family Radio website, go into the podcast section, and you can also pick up Money in Mission on Spotify.
That's right.
And you can also go out to the wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com website. Just scroll down the page until you come to podcasts, and you'll be able to listen to it there as well. So episode 45, we introduced
part one,
what is wealth? We talked about that. And then last week in episode 46, we were talking about building wealth wisely.
That's right.
Say that 10 times as fast as you can.
Why would I want to do that?
Yeah, that's right. But today we want to, I guess, you know, we're talking about generosity, but you ask a really important question, Eric, and you said, why build wealth?
Right. And that's very important.
Yeah. And you know, I actually hadn't thought about that prior to just about an hour and a half ago when you raised that question. And that is, the whole purpose of building wealth is to be generous.
To make an impact.
That's right. To make an impact. Now, I know, you know, that is a principle that you need to decide if you believe that or not. Not everybody.
And how it is you want to make an impact or you feel you best could.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But
it's not cookie cutter for everybody, but.
That's exactly right. But the why becomes so important.
Kind of like all of our guests.
Mm-hmm.
They're all doing great things and all being generous in their own way.
That's right.
But then a different process for a different reason.
That's right. That's right. And so everyone has a purpose that they are called to. That's your mission, right? And the reason we have called this podcast Money in Mission is that, A, you need to understand your mission. You have to understand what you're all about, but you need to understand how money works as well. And somebody said once, no money, no mission.
Yes.
That's right. So generosity, the why behind building wealth. And yes, you know, we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And the theologians always don't like it because I stop there and I say on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that means.
Because mission completed.
The boots are hitting the ground. Yeah, mission completed. The boots are hitting the ground, but when God's kingdom comes on earth.
If you can make it on earth as it is in heaven.
That's right.
Right. As close to.
That's right.
Because you can make an impact.
Mm-hmm. And that involves your stuff.
Yes.
Your money.
Which isn't really our stuff to begin with.
It's just not your. It's not our. That's right. But, you know, so every time you open your checkbook, God's kingdom has an opportunity to come on earth just like it is in heaven because you make a decision with how you want to spend that money, where the money goes, and so on. So it's the why. Why we do that. So generosity is this topic that we keep coming back to, but what is generous? Like, how do you define generous?
Being nice, giving some away. But what's the real definition?
The real definition. I Googled it.
How did we know that?
Did you get the Merriam version, Merriam-Webster?
But, you know, it seemed to make sense that to be generous is all about showing a readiness to give more of something than is what's actually expected or what is actually necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Being ready to give more of something, and whether that's money or time or whatever. And we all know how this works, right?
Well, let's put it in a way that folks will understand.
A diner.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I love going to that diner over there because they have generous portions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably more than what would be expected, right?
We can wrap our heads around that.
I can wrap my head around that. I love going to eat at places where, now, I mean,
they didn't have to give me that much, and I didn't expect it either.
That's right. But they did, and so it's a generous portion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, and this is a little, you know, this is a little side tangent. Some smorgasbords give senior discount, right?
Oh yeah.
And I'm so excited about that because I am like knocking on that door, right? but they give senior discounts, and I was asking this one smorgasbord a couple of years ago. I was just saying how nice it was that they did this, and they said, "Well, you know, seniors eat less,"
mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to charge it. And I said, come on, couldn't you have at least, left me think that you were being benevolent? But anyway, generous portions.
Well, maybe they are because they don't want them to overpay.
That's right.
Because they know they're not eating.
That's right. They're being generous. They're doing more than what would
they didn't have to.
That's right.
Do that.
So, but that's, you know, to be generous means that you're giving more than what is strictly necessary or what is or what's really needed.
But why?
But
why should we be generous?
Well, that is exactly the question. Why should, what's the motivation, right, to be generous? And, Kingdom Advisors is an organization that I belong to, and Kingdom Advisors has a little saying that there's only four things you can do with your money. You can spend money to live. You can send money someplace that you owe, like debt or taxes. You can give your money away, or you can put it somewhere to grow. And live, give, owe, grow. So there's only four things you could possibly ever do with your money. But giving is an important part of that. And being generous is an important part of that. And again, as we said, God's kingdom coming to earth just like it is in heaven. And so you have an opportunity to make God's kingdom come to earth just by being generous.
And giving isn't just a nice idea, but it's a reoccurring theme and expectation through Scripture.
It is.
God calls his people to be generous, reflecting his own generous character here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work."
That's right.
He tells us over and over.
So in some way, when we are being generous, we are kind of reflecting exactly the way God is towards us.
It's an act of worship and trust.
It's an act of worship. It's an act of trust. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's kind of a statement, too, that says, I mean, if I'm just not being generous, I'm thinking maybe there's just not enough out there. Like if I give, if I'm generous, then maybe there's not enough left for me. And so when I'm being generous, I am actually...
That I don't have enough mindset.
Or that I don't have enough. That's right. And so there is this sort of internal positioning that happens when...
But God looks at the heart and proportion, and not just the amount.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, well, there's actually, you know, I can think of 20 reasons why being generous is...
We don't have that much time.
That's right. We'll have to
pick that up. We got about a minute left.
That's right. We'll have to pick that up in segment three. So in the meantime, we'll just be generous with our... our conversation, right? We'll be generous and we'll just kind of fill the last 50 seconds here because we're getting ready actually for that most exciting part of our podcast every week.
Yeah, your favorite part.
My favorite part.
Yes. Joe, you need to cue up a drum roll from now on.
The drum roll.
Oh, that's the fine one. I'll have to go out and find one.
That's
right.
Yeah. And that's the weekly puzzle, right?
Yeah.
That's right. But seriously, before we go to that, a biblical worldview involves generosity.
Yes.
That's right.
It certainly does.
It involves generosity. So,
and we'll get into different examples of how we're told over and over.
That's right. That's right. When we come back from our break.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a quick short break here and get to our favorite part of the show, James.
The weekly puzzle. That's exactly right. Well, we are ready for our weekly puzzle.
All right, let's jump into that.
Last week was about a bat and a ball.
That's right. So in this one, a bat and a ball cost $1.10 total. The bat costs $1 more than the ball.
Right.
So how much does the ball cost? $1.10. The bat was a dollar more.
$50.
No, you're wrong.
No, okay.
It was a nickel.
I tried.
Cost a nickel. So $1.05 plus $5 is $1.10.
Okay, a nickel.
Yeah.
All right. I have no idea where you come up with these things.
Actually, you do.
Yeah, I do. That's what I printed this whole thing for you. So we're kind of reading this together. All right. Let's try this one on for size.
Okay.
When I take 5 and add 6, I get 11. But when I take 6 and add 7, I get 1. What am I?
So you take 5.
and add six, I get 11.
Mm-hmm.
But when I add six, or when I take six and add seven, I get one.
Hmm.
What am I?
I don't know.
Yeah. So if you think you know the answer, send your answer by email to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the show next week.
That's right. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our supporters. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Holy Family Radio is your Catholic voice in central Pennsylvania, but as a listener-supported radio station, we need your help, not only during our annual pledge drives and speaker series, but throughout the year. Please prayerfully consider a donation of any amount to AM 720. Giving is easy. Visit our website, 720whyf.com, and click the donate page and follow the instructions. And thank you for whatever you can give to Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where we talk every week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I'm Eric Terrio.
And we are talking about generosity.
Yes, right.
The why behind why we build wealth. The why behind why.
We are in part three of our four-part wealth series.
That's right. And there are so many reasons why we should be generous.
Let's talk about a few of them.
There's so many reasons. It occurred to me that if you are new to this whole thing of generosity and you're just getting started, usually people, when they're new to generosity, they think about money. And it's about cash. It's just about giving cash. But the more that you get into, even if you just start being generous in a very small way with money, what happens is that you begin to have experiences and you see how your money is working, and you start to realize that there are different forms of generosity. And
we each have different skills and capacity to give.
That's right. That's right. But there are different, so the different forms, certainly money is one of the forms of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's interesting, if you did a Google search on forms of generosity, you would find that one reference is three forms of generosity, and then there's five forms of generosity, and then there's seven forms of, and you have to wonder, you know, if they all sort of, you know, if the AIs sort of read from each other like that. But you know, let's talk. There's like seven forms of generosity, and certainly money is one of them, but time is another, being generous with our time, being generous with our things, and this, like our homes.
Stuff we own,
that's right. Our influence.
Mm-hmm.
Generous with our attention.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's important.
That's right. There is something so powerful that happens when you give the gift of attention.
The more attention you give to something, the more you'll learn and understand.
That's right. That's right.
And the more you'll be able to make an impact if you better understand.
That's right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Being generous with our thoughts and also our words.
Mm-hmm.
So there are seven forms of generosity: money, time, things, influence, attention, thoughts, and words. I have no idea what acronym that would turn into. Not anything really. But 20 reasons why generosity really makes sense. You had referenced, I think you were saying, how we're supposed to give. And I honestly can't remember where this verse is at. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over and poured out to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you again.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually really God put giving seems it seems to me it puts God in our debt. Right? Proverbs 19:7 says that whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So it's almost like when you are generous, all of a sudden God owes you something. Because you are, just ponder that, right, for a few minutes. If you are generous, God is in your debt. He owes you something. That's Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Well, I think we had already said about how giving, you know, God gives to us, and so we give to other people. So when we give, we are mirroring God's actions towards us.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's very important.
That's right. But giving actually makes you happy.
Yeah. Feel more fulfilled.
Right.
Happier, more connected with people.
That's right. So the National Opinion Research Center had something they called a general social survey.
Okay.
Right. But in this survey, they were surveying people who gave blood, actually. And they said...
Still giving, being generous with your
that's right.
blood, the folks that need it.
But interestingly, they said 43% of the people who gave blood 2 to 3 times per year were very happy, as opposed to the 29% of people who didn't.
Interesting.
So something about giving... benefits you as a giver,
yes,
in an emotional and spiritual kind of way.
And it makes me feel the best when I'm able to be there in person.
That's right.
Like when church has an event, you get to go, make a difference. You get to look in the eyes of those that you're helping.
That's right.
I really feel connected to them.
That's right. Giving also communicates something important about our worldview. I think we had touched on this briefly in segment two, that if we believe there's enough to go around, then it is much easier for us to give. We don't feel like our giving is going to like endanger us because we suddenly don't have enough.
Right. And it's just not true.
That's right. That's right. And I have to share this story. I mean, this is not on our script here, but a number of years ago, we were in Haiti, and we were visiting a church on the top of this mountain, and you know, arguably, we would say those folks did not have as much as we do, but we had helped them set up some water filters in their village to provide clean water and so on, and we decided to go to their church service on Sunday morning, and here they were in this building that was very, very rudimentary. The benches were made out of just logs and so on and so forth. And the preacher stood up, and this woman was sitting next to us, and she would kind of interpret as well as she could. Otherwise, we couldn't understand really what they were saying. But this preacher was preaching to these people about how thankful they should be that they now had clean water. Mm-hmm. And then he admonished everybody in that building, these Haitian folks who, again, just don't have anywhere close to the amount of stuff that we had. He admonished them to share what they had with people who didn't have as much. Hmm. And I was like, oh, wow. You know,
that's deep.
That's
that is deep.
That's right. And it really just, you know, hit me like a ton of bricks. When we share, it says something about our worldview, right? And if we don't think, if we think there's enough to go around, if we really believe that we're fine, then and God's going to be taking care of us, then it's much easier for us to be generous and to give.
Absolutely.
Right. So where are we at in our outline? I think I got off track, but that was important, though. It made sense, right?
And, you know, God blesses others through us when we give.
That's right.
So that's really important.
That's right. Like we said, it's God's kingdom coming to earth just like it is in heaven. So he blesses others through us when we are generous.
Yep. And joyful giving makes God happy.
It does.
It certainly does.
God and loves a cheerful giver.
I read that earlier from Corinthians, and Jesus warns against giving for show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so our motivation should be rooted in love for God and
that's right.
And not for how that perception will fall on us.
That's right. Now, the Journal of Health Psychology, in a 2012 study, concluded that giving helps us to live longer.
Got $5, Joe? Oh, yeah. Both of you. Come on, $5 each. I'm here doing you both a favor.
That's right. You're going to help us live longer. That's right.
You're going to get him off track again.
I do not know how you would scientifically prove that.
Huh.
Right? For people who give, are they living longer? I mean,
so there's
you can't roll back time and say, okay, now I'm going to give less and see if I don't live as long. But anyway, so
studies that say it makes you happier, live longer.
That's right. It makes you happier, makes you live longer.
Might be a study that makes you richer, too.
It could be. That's right. But people have done studies on this whole thing of generosity. And the general conclusion is that people are happier and they live longer. Giving is contagious, right? Joe, you mentioned pay it forward. And this is not a myth. This is a fact. When people experience a generous kindness, they're more likely to treat others the same way.
Yes.
And then it starts to spread around.
And when you do an act of extreme kindness like that, it makes certain people who might be in the whirlwind of life to stop and pause like, oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still people out there like that. Even though I'm going through this, I can still be like that as well.
That's right. That's right. Giving gives life meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It battles depression.
Makes them happier, study.
That's right.
Yeah.
Somehow when you can see the benefit of what you're doing and how you've really blessed somebody else, it lifts you up at the same time. So let's see, where else? Oh, giving increases our confidence.
Oh.
Too.
Oh, you weren't lying. You do have 20 good reasons.
There are 20. That's right. I forget which number I'm at right now. I did these in bullet points. I didn't number them. So I think there's 20 there. But giving increases our confidence, for sure. Now, I would also say that giving makes you listen differently.
How so?
Because you are suddenly paying attention to where it is that you're giving in a way that you weren't paying attention before.
Hmm.
It suddenly matters. And now
you put your money where your mouth was.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
it's giving to food bank or giving blood. Mm-hmm. You can put a whole myriad of things out there.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right.
And I paid for with my blood. What are you doing with it?
That's right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
Keeping somebody alive.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's right.
That's right. But suddenly that matters to you, right? In a way that it didn't matter before you were giving. And now you're listening and you're paying attention. It makes you look at your resources differently as well. Again, we said the more people give, the more they begin to see all of their resources as potential opportunities.
And it's fiscally responsible, too, because it mm-hmm. helps you put a budget in place and really understand where all your money is going so you know how much you can give.
That's right. And we're going to talk more about that in segment four. Where
yeah, we can continue on
that's,
this.
That's where
we're running out of time.
Where you should have a plan.
As well as some action steps for that.
That's right. That's right. So, well, we are almost out of time. Giving helps create lasting relationships. It makes you more likable.
That's right.
That's right. Let's.
And you'll like us more after this break.
And you'll like us more after this break.
You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles.
Every week.
Every week. We do that every week. That's right. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And a great big thank you to our friends here at Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Thank you to the Joes and to the board.
Joe and Joe. That's right. Well, we are... We ran out of time. We were talking about the reasons why
you have
it is
so many.
Good to be generous.
That's
right.
Good. Let's finish some of those.
That's right. Well, I think we were done.
Oh, were we?
I was trying to be generous.
Oh, okay.
With the reasons, the number of reasons. I had lots and lots of reasons. More reasons.
There's
than
a
you
few
might,
of them here.
More reasons than you might
think. It promotes
think.
Universal good.
Uh-huh.
Helps create lasting relationships.
That's right.
That's a big one. Church families are built from that.
That's right.
And it can even make you likable.
It can even make you likable. That's right. So many more reasons than you might even think necessary.
But
right?
Jesus warned not to do that for show. So don't do it just to be likable.
That's right. That's right. It should be likable anyway.
That's right.
That's right. Whether you're generous or not. Okay, we didn't practice that.
No. So we've been talking about, you know, generosity, why it's important. So maybe we can help folks with maybe some action steps on what they can do mm-hmm. in this area of generosity.
That's right. Yeah, this whole thing of action steps is really...
Like, what can I do? I'm sure listeners are thinking.
Yeah.
I want to be generous.
Yeah.
I want to feel all those good things that you say happens when you give.
Right. I mean, there is this principle where you know something, and if it's something you've known for a while, and then you run into some information, and you say, I already knew that, right? Or if you run into new information, and now you know it, so you know something. And then, you know, the next little step is that you have to decide if you believe that. Know, believe, and then the third natural extension is to do something with it.
But you have to be convicted first.
You have to be convicted first. You have to believe it, right? I mean, I'm sitting on a stool here. I know this stool is going to hold me up, and so I don't think twice.
I really
believe in those legs. That's right. I come in and I sit down, and it's like, boom, it's here, right? If you hear this loud noise, you'll know.
Your belief was fractured.
That's right. Not a good thing to believe in. But so we hear about this generosity thing, and we're like, okay, you know, I know that. I have to decide if I believe it. Well, you know, the way you know if you believe it is if you do something with it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then...
That's the whole point behind being a God-fearing man.
That is the whole point.
You fear it because you believe.
That's right. Yeah. So it's important to cultivate, really, a generous life.
Yes.
It doesn't just happen. You've got to cultivate it. And
you have to water it.
Nurture it and get it to where it wants to be. So, you know, some of the ways that you go about doing that are prayer, for sure.
Most important.
Right. Specifically, asking God for a generous heart and to open your thought process and show you where to look to be generous.
And pray with the leaders of your church, too.
Pray with the leaders of your church.
On that topic.
That's right.
Because they pray over their missions and their giving.
Mm-hmm. Some churches have, you know, like small groups of people that get together. You can pray together with those small groups as well. But then making a plan, a very specific plan, to put that into action. And again, we say that having giving be a part of your wealth management plan is important, part of your financial plan mm-hmm. and part of your budget, so that it is not just a afterthought.
It's a line item.
It's a line item. Mm-hmm. And it has some priority in there as well. And then start. You just have to start doing it, right?
What do they say, right? Half the trouble is just showing up.
That's right.
You show up, things will happen, and you'll figure it out, and God will show you the way.
That's right. And then keep track. Understand where your resources are going. That, again, helps you to listen and to be engaged in what's happening there. And certainly, again, keeping your eyes and ears open so that living daily you're looking for opportunities to be generous. And not just with money, but all the things that we've talked about so far.
Helps you to live financially wisely as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to, like you said, see those opportunities where you might be able to give more.
That's right. That's right. So, and the biblical connection really, you know, you read the Bible and it just always talks about putting things into action.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is little, if anything, in the Bible that is all about just kind of sitting there.
Right.
Right. So for the remainder of our time here, we just want to really do a really high level overview of some of the practical things. And a lot of this, again, you know, it's going to center around money and investments and so on and so forth. But again, this is an obvious place that we can get started. And frankly, it feels to me like as we get into some of this stuff, this is going to turn into, we'll have guests. We've already had guests like Mary Jo Mullen. We had John Eisenberg from the National Christian Foundation, and a number of our guests, as you said earlier, are all about doing very specific things that live out this very principle that we're talking about.
That's right. Great stories, too.
Yeah, awesome stories. And again, go back and listen to some of those previous episodes if you haven't already. So certainly people can give gifts of cash. We know that.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's one way. It's just, cash is simply, it's out and it's gone.
Might not be the most efficient, but it's clean and easy.
It's clean, that's right, and it's super easy. Sometimes a gift of time is easy too, right? I show up and I help pack boxes of food over at the food bank.
Know it's going to be from 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
You can plan it out.
That's right. Not a tremendously difficult lift. I just need to carve out a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteering over at the Salvation Army or helping, clean things up around church.
Mm-hmm.
These are just little things that are not.
I like going and do the home projects at folks' homes, putting like wheelchair ramps and mm-hmm. helping different things like that. Because you get to talk to them and they're so appreciative.
The Habitat for Humanity, the good stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
There's a whole myriad of different organizations out there that are paying it forward, for lack of a better term.
That's right.
Yeah, I work with, in the past, an organization out of York, Pennsylvania, Red Lion, called Servants. And it's very similar to Habitat for Humanity. Yep. Great people.
I have to write that down because we would love to have some of the folks from Habitat here as a guest as well. But so gifts of time, gifts of cash, gifts of stuff.
Yeah.
That's right. And
we're financial people, advisors, so we know folks have all kinds of investments.
That's right.
That they're able to give away.
That's right. Let's pretend you have a growth and income mutual fund. And the mutual fund pays out dividends, and maybe hopefully there's capital gains. Like maybe not right now, because the market's bouncing around.
We already got through week in review.
We got through that. Yeah. So, but anyway, the point is, so you have this mutual fund, and it's paying out dividends, and it may be paying out capital gains. You could actually instruct your mutual fund to send the dividends to a charity.
Mm-hmm.
So. Your mutual fund hopefully will continue to build through capital gains over the years. But if you just tell your mutual fund to send dividends to a charity somewhere, then you have effectively taken a financial asset that you have, that you own, and it's on autopilot.
It's just not really affecting your day-to-day life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just giving, and you are using your wealth in a way to influence the world around you. And it may not seem like it's that big of a deal, but
I promise it'll be happy to be received more than you'll miss it.
That's exactly right. Well, there's probably a half a dozen more different ways that you can use mutual funds. And again, we'll talk about some of those things as we go forward in the coming weeks.
And when Holy Family Radio has their next fund drive, we'll come in and talk about some interesting ways.
That's right. That's coming up, isn't it, Joe?
It's in May, I believe. I'll have to check. Well, you guys continue the conversation.
So next month.
I'll go check my calendar.
Sure. Okay. So
we'll talk more about ways that folks can help throughout investment accounts and mutual funds.
That's exactly right. So life insurance can also be incorporated into a giving plan.
Some people are thinking, what? Life insurance?
How does that work? Life insurance.
How do you do that?
I knew you were going to talk about life insurance.
Your ratification is March 6th, 7th, and 8th.
May.
Or May. I said March.
May 6th, 7th, and 8th.
That will be on the air sometime. One day it'll be in the morning, next day it'll be in the afternoon.
Right.
For several hours live, asking you to support Holy Family Radio.
Right.
Yep.
So we're giving you now all the things you can think about between now and then. Mutual funds, life insurance. We should almost make a whole little segment out of talking about life insurance and how that can be used
mm-hmm.
in charitable giving as well. Well, qualified charitable distributions from an IRA, right? If you're 70 years old, you can be making qualified charitable distributions.
How about donor-advised funds?
Donor-advised funds, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Eisenberg was talking about that a few weeks ago when we had him here as a guest. So National Christian Foundation does donor-advised funds. And there are a number of other organizations around the country that also do donor-advised funds. And if you're not sure about how they work, you can call us up. Right? Right. We'd be happy to point you in the right direction.
Because the whole reason behind building wealth is to be generous.
It's to be generous.
We're doing it not for the love of money, but for mm-hmm. the love and the purpose of generosity.
That's exactly right. And to be God's agent right here in the world that we live in.
On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is. That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it says it so right there, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus just had this way of like nailing it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And some of the lines they still hit today, like.
That's right.
Thousands of years later.
Yeah. Like.
Doesn't change.
Yep.
On earth, just as it is in heaven. I mean, he said it in 8 words, and we've sat here and talked about it for an hour. Mm-hmm. Right? Somehow you managed to nail it in 8 words.
Yeah, let that sink in for a little bit.
That's right. But, you know, the problem, though, Joe, is if we just did 8 words, you would be saying, come on, guys, we got an hour to fill.
That's also true.
we do want to wrap up here today, but you know, we hope and we pray that we have stirred your thought process to generosity. Next week, we want to be talking about overcoming obstacles in building wealth.
Yes, that'll be a good one, too.
That'll be a good one.
Because you can want to do it, but, oh, what happens? It's going to be a bumpy road. Well, we'll help you out and figure out how to navigate that rough water. Well, great episode. We'll see everybody next week. You've been listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.